In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Oh yes, tis time to talk movies and more as we are joined in studio by Alan Adams, who was a little nervous coming in our creepy, eerie, dark lobby this afternoon.
Yeah, not a light, not a single light on in the place, and it's just like, and look, man, I know who owns this station. I'm not new. It was just as I said to you, felt just a touch murdery.
We're just trying to create a little environment, you know.
Well, mission accomplished.
Thank you. Hope you like that out there. How was your weekend?
It was great. We had a really lovely weekend. Got out, did some stuff with some folks. My father-in-law's birthday was on Sunday. We had a chance to take him out to lunch down in Ellsworth. We went to the recently reopened Finn's.
Nice time.
I've always dug that place. Inside hasn't changed a lot, which is kind of what you want,
right?
Like that's what you want from that place. It was nice, and we were talking a little bit, and figure we'll spend a little time on this. I went to see A Christmas Carol at Penobscot Theater Company on Saturday night.
Well, tell us about that.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I am tangentially involved with the production as I am the understudy for Ken Stack as Scrooge.
Which means the only time you're going to do that is if aliens abduct him.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where it was one of where you just kind of, so you're gonna write me a check for this? Like, I've done my best to to learn the lines and whatnot. But
can you give us a BH?
I am not going to do that.
Come on,
not going to do that.
Unless you get paid for it.
Yes, right. it's been an interesting process.
Wait, how do you say the word C-L-E-R-K?
I plead the fifth.
Also the
governing body I'm not going to tell you how I pronounce that
gonna,
either.
Not
going to
pronounce polyamatorus. Come on.
It's wonderful. Sitting through and going through the script, it's so interesting because there are so many adaptations of A Christmas Carol. But the one thing that really carries through all of them, Scrooge's language is more or less the same.
Yeah,
like it has to be. Like it has to
right.
be. You can't like that's the one part you can't really mess with all that much. And so, like sitting there and reading through the script and watching the rehearsals and seeing the show on Saturday, it's a reminder because I've done the show half a dozen times. I know you've done it a bunch,
mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where like even though I've never said the lines. Like I've heard them all a million times.
Oh yes.
And so like they're all kind of in there, with the exceptions of the ones that have been reworked a little bit. Like there are a couple of sections in this script where it's like, oh, like that is a different sort of, but for the most part, it's like, oh yeah. Like the Scrooge Cratchit scene. I'm I already know how to do this. Like it's like, I've done it from the one side. So I know what he says, but so that's been an interesting experience. First time I've done something like this, but sitting down and watching the show on Saturday, I was so happy to see that show back on that stage. Like I think that's one of the things, and I understand the desire to sort of expand the holiday offerings that that the theater does. But I do think I think we're going to find the middle ground between doing it every year and not doing it at all.
Right.
Like
right.
That's because saying goodbye to A Christmas Carol was you got to do it. You got to do it sometimes
right.
because it's like there are so many people.
It's like not doing the Nutcracker.
Right. It's just it was a holiday tradition for such a long time. So like allowing people like to have that again, I think. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be every year. But like on occasion,
yeah.
I think it's really important. This adaptation, directed and choreographed by Ethan Paolini, stars, of course, Ken Stack as Ebenezer Scrooge. What else are you going to do? I'm not going to go through the story because everyone listening knows the story of A Christmas Carol. But it was really interesting to see. Again, I'm always here for the different adaptations. This one follows a sort of let's put on a show concept. So you've got actors sort of starting spread out around the space and coming together and then sort of diving into the story and doing it that way. This one has actors playing instruments on stage, a few dance numbers, some songs, a really interesting sort of modular set that involves a lot of like pieces coming in and out of the walls, reminiscent kind of a banker's desk, which I thought was kind of an interesting aesthetic.
Yeah.
And you've got a really diverse cast of, I think it's all told. I think there's 12 total counting Ken in the cast, men, women, kids, everybody playing different parts at different times and really mixing it up, and having some fun with the conceit of the, you know, it's like, you know, are we actors? Are we just regular people? Like, and kind of moving, like keeping that sort of gray area, which was really interesting. And again, it's Ken Stack as Scrooge, man. Right. Like, it's like you just sit there and you're like, it's like a warm blanket, you know? It's like, man, like it's just so great to see him doing it. Like he's just so good. And here's the thing about Ken. And if he's listening, his ears are burning. If he's not listening, but he could so easily just phone it in at this point. Mm. Like he could, like it's all in there. Like he could like sleepwalk through this part.
But that's not in him.
But that's not what he does. No. You know, like he gives it his all. He goes so hard, and he's so clearly invested in telling this story. And so like it. I don't want to say it doesn't matter who you surround him with, because of course it does. Like, you know, like we've had casts of varying qualities over the years, you know, and it definitely impacts the experience. But when you have someone so talented and so committed, sort of, you know, central to a story like this, like all everyone else has to do is just stay in orbit. Like just keep it moving. And Ken will be sort of the sort of foundational piece that keeps it all working. So yeah, and again, production values top notch as per usual. And it's just a really I can't stress it enough. I'm so stoked they're doing it, you know. And Saturday night was if it wasn't sold out, it was close. And I only hope that going forward they get as robust a response for the rest of the run, because the story deserves it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going this weekend, so we're looking forward to it there. How about movies? Have you seen anything since last we visited?
You know, I did get to see a couple. I did not go to the movie theater. I was otherwise engaged, but I did see a couple of actually new holiday themed films, one on the Netflix, and one courtesy of Amazon Prime. Now the Netflix one, it's a couple of things that I really love: a Christmas movie and a body swap comedy.
Oh, hey, there,
like,
you go.
You bring those two things together, and it's like, all right, let's go. That one's called Family Switch.
Yeah,
it stars Ed Helms and Jennifer Garner, among others. And then the other film on Amazon Prime Video. Candy Cane Lane, starring Eddie Murphy, as well as not one, but two Friends of Downtown.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
One Maine native, UMaine grad, and Veep star, Timothy Simons.
Nice.
And a for real, like perhaps one of Downtown's best friends, Stephen Tobolowsky.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So which one would you like to talk about first?
Yeah, I got to hear about Candy Cane Lane.
Yeah. Okay. So it's so funny. So it's an Eddie Murphy movie, but it's an Eddie Murphy family movie. So he more or less behaves himself.
Yeah.
But it's wild because, like, I'm watching this movie and I'm like, have I seen this before? And I haven't, because it's brand new. And yet I kind of have, because I feel like he's made variations on this movie several times over the past few years. He's a guy named Chris Carver. He lives in El Segundo, California, with his family, including his wife, played by the wonderful Tracy Ellis Ross, a couple of kids, an aspiring track star and an aspiring musician, as well as a younger daughter. And the whole deal is they live on a street that does an annual like Christmas decorating contest. And so, you know, he does everything by hand, like hand carves everything. But his neighbor across the street, played kind of hilariously by Ken Marino, has all the like fancy blow up stuff and all that. And he always wins. And so, but Chris thinks this is his year. He really wants to win. And then it all becomes complicated when a television show decides they're going to air the contest and there's going to be a massive prize. Don't ask questions. You start pulling at threads, Candy Cane Lane is going to fall apart.
All right.
But one of the hosts of said show, sort of straight man journalism grad, wondering how he got here, that would be Tim Simons.
Perfect casting.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. He's so good in this. But so obviously you introduce TV and money into it. That sort of elevates the stakes. Our man Chris is trying to figure out how he's going to win the contest when he's driving around and inadvertently stumbles on this mysterious store that he'd never seen before called Kringle's. And he goes in and it's all this incredibly elaborate, like Christmas decoration stuff, like just incredible, incredible stuff. And he encounters, the store's seemingly sole employee, a woman named Pepper, played by the wonderful Jillian Bell, who basically, talks him into getting this crazy mechanical clockwork tree thing and is like, this will be great. You know, there's a crazy long receipt that he has to sign. She's like, don't read the fine print. Foreshadowing. So he signs it, takes the thing home, follows the instructions that involve making a wish at one point. He wishes to win the contest. But, well, it turns out that Pepper is not all that she seems.
Mm.
And before you know it, our man Chris is trapped by a ticking clock of a curse that will perhaps lead to him spending eternity living in a tiny house in the Kringle's shop.
Wow.
But you know, he's not great at asking for help, and so he's forced to work through his various issues, including, you know, realizing what the real meaning of Christmas is. All the way. While his family is also trying to figure out, pursue their own things, but he's, you know, he's so wrapped up in his own stuff, he hasn't seen it. And so, you know, when the tinsel hits the fan, he starts realizing that perhaps there are some things that are more important. And it's one of those moments where we meet Mr. Tobolowsky, who plays one of Chris's children's math teachers, and he has an quite funny scene. It's mostly him and Tracy Ellis Ross, but it's very I'm not going to spoil it, but it's very funny. Look, I'm not going to. Odds are it's probably going to work out okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I will say, Santa does show up. At a certain point,
mm-hmm.
Played by someone that you might not expect to play Santa.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you who it is.
All right.
And that's kind of it. Like there's a whole thing with the little tiny toys that talk, played by, a couple of pretty famous names. Nick Offerman is one of them. Chris Redd of SNL fame. And there is a running gag involving, the fine a cappella stylings of Pentatonix.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
It's really not bad. Like I kind of figured it was going to be more of a placeholder kind of movie.
Right, right.
But it was fun, you know, and it's one of those things where I will say I do feel like Eddie Murphy has maybe come around a little bit on the family fair to the point where he's at least giving he's caring a little bit more as
right.
opposed to kind of phoning it in, which we've seen in the past, mm-hmm. which is no good. But yeah, he really seems kind of dig it. And so the energy is really good. Some wonderful chemistry amongst the cast. It's a fun time.
That sounds pretty good. I need to check out Candy Cane Lane.
I think you will. I think you and your crew would really
and
enjoy.
That's on Prime?
That is on Prime.
Cool. All right. Tell us about Family Switch.
Okay, as I said, I'm a proponent of the body swap comedy.
Love them.
You're going to introduce a holiday element to that. Sure, let's go. So we've got Jess and Bill Walker, played by Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms. They are real Christmas weirdos, much to the chagrin of their family. They do like Christmas Carol videos with dancing and stuff like that, try to get the kids involved. But the kids have gotten a little bit older, and they have decided that what mom and dad do is pretty lame. He's a music teacher who once harbored rock star dreams. He was actually a member of a band that would go on to great fame. It's a band with a number in your title. I'm not going to spoil the joke, but it's pretty funny. And Jennifer Garner, she works as a sort of an ad consultant, you know, the types of jobs that people have in these movies.
Yes.
It's not really clear what she does,
right.
but doesn't really matter.
No.
She's just a high powered executive, a mom who can do it all. And then she's got, their kids, Cece and Wyatt. And they've got a baby named Miles and a dog. So they're all like a happy family. The teenagers are doing their thing. The parents are really into Christmas. But the son, Wyatt, is really into science and math. And so they're like, oh, there's this planetary alignment happening. Let's go to the observatory. Like you do.
Uh-huh.
And they show up, and then there's a mysterious hippie in a van, played by Rita Moreno.
No.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep, it sure is. Who does some sort of like tarot reading or whatever, and tells them like their fortune. And they're like, yeah, okay, whatever, crazy lady. They go into the telescope room, and then, well, body swap. mom and daughter, dad and older son, baby and dog.
Whoa.
Yeah, the baby and the dog swap.
That sounds the most interesting of all.
Well, it gets really interesting when they enlist their weird German dog trainer neighbor to watch both the dog and the baby. there's a running subplot that involves how that works. That's pretty funny. And then, you know, it's the standard body swap shenanigans. Like, they all conveniently enough have very important days set for the next day.
Sure.
Like, the...
Mom's got a work meeting of some kind.
Yeah, mom's got an important meeting, and dad's band, Dad or Alive, has been selected to be on some TV show hosted by what's his name, Howie Mandel.
Oh, jeez.
the boys got an interview with Yale, and so they all have to do these things while for the other people. And Rich, they learn a little something about each other.
Oh,
you know, and how complicated everybody's lives are, and how maybe they've drifted apart a little bit, and so it gives them a chance to sort of reconnect on that level as they try to save the day for each other and race against time to get back into their proper bodies before the planet's on a line. Again, it's unclear how all this works. But thankfully, every once in a while, when it starts to get a little confusing, Rita Moreno's there in her van to help sort of get you back on the right path.
She's going to be 92 next week.
She looks great.
I know.
Great. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you look at this person, if you didn't know who it was, and you're like, oh yeah, that person, she's 68 years old. You'd be like, oh wow, she looked great for 68.
Yeah.
You know, it's staggering. But yeah, so long story short, it's a fun movie. Like, it's dorky as heck and super cheeseball, and it's exactly the sort of thing that I love at this time of year.
Yeah.
Like, and it's anytime you have like a kid acting like an older person and an older person acting like a kid, especially like Ed Helms and Jennifer Garner are great for a movie like this. And Jennifer Garner, no stranger to the body swap comedy.
Right.
There's actually it's like a 2-minute sequence where they basically do a bit where all the dialogue is structured around titles of other body swap comedies. it's super dorky, but I love self-referential stuff like that. It shows that the filmmakers, McG, I don't know if you've heard that name in a while. I hadn't. But someone who clearly has an affinity for this style of movie. And I always feel like when your filmmaker has a real connection to the type of movie that they're making, it makes a difference.
What was the last McG film?
Like, the only ones I can think of are the Charlie's Angels movies, and those were a million years ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, it's perfectly well made. It's you know, it's got a little bit of the Netflix sheen to it, like they all do. But it's a really easy watch. And again, it's another one that I think like families will really find enjoyable, because I don't know, there's something to be said for having a movie where it's like your 5-year-old, your 15-year-old, and you know, two parents and a grandma can all watch it and enjoy it, you know. And I think both of these movies actually kind of have that quality. So yeah,
nice
family watch, pretty good.
Alan Adams talking movies with us in a little bonus theater conversation here on a Monday downtown. Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome, sir.
Hope your week goes well.
And yours.
Thank you. Let's do this again next Monday.
Sounds good to me.
Pass the popcorn here on downtown. It's 5:38.